Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. This is John Alls. We want to welcome you to the broadcast this morning. Now, last month we talked about the rich farmer and how he was so busy building up his riches that he forgot to think about God. Now, for the next 3 weeks, we're also going to be covering a message titled The Greatness of God Almighty. It fits with the message from last week because the very first part of this message talks about a passage that's very familiar to a lot of us. Be still and know that I am God. The rich farmer didn't do that. He was busy building riches, building things, and what he was going to do when he retired, and all these things he was going to enjoy in life. And he didn't take the time to think about God, and to be still, and to know who God was. And I just love that statement. We always think about doing. And this verse, when you read it, it kind of jumps out and grabs you, and it says, slow down and listen. You know, it's something that people in this day and age are not very good at, honestly. You know, and this verse, like I said, kind of jumps out at you and kind of gets your attention. It just kind of makes you stop and think for a second. There's a new movie out called Expelled. Now, this movie, it's a documentary about intelligent design and how many universities and colleges are firing or have been firing scientists who start exploring the possibility of intelligent design. Now, in this movie, they're interviewing Richard Dawkins, who is, of course, a very staunch atheist and evolutionist. They ask him, what will you do if you die, and hey, there is a God? And he asks you, why didn't you believe in me? His statement was, I would ask God, why didn't he show himself? Why did you hide from me? You know, and the person doing the interviewing follows it up with a statement of, maybe God is showing himself. And he's showing himself through his intelligent design of this world, and you're refusing to see him. You're wanting to write off that intelligent design. You're wanting to write off the way that God is displaying himself to you. You know, and that response and that statement brought this verse to my mind. Be still and know that I'm God. Some people put so much time and so much energy into trying to write off God and all the miraculous things he's done instead of setting down quietly and really looking at it and listening to what God has to tell him.
This morning, we'd like to take our text from the book of Psalms 46 and verse 10 and think on the subject of the greatness of God Almighty. That's Psalms 46 and verse 10, which states, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." This is a great passage, for a great God ought to have a great people. And the God that we serve, the God of creation, the God of the heavens, the God of the earth, is our God. God is the one that spoke this world into existence. He is the one who has saved our soul. And he is the one that tells in Psalms 46 and verse 10 that we ought to be still and know that God is God. God is the one that is telling us that he is going to exalt himself above the heathen. He is going to exalt himself in the earth. Today the world is telling us that we ought to be busier and busier, and that if a person is sitting contemplating God or contemplating holiness or contemplating righteousness, that they are simply wasting their time. We see it all the time in advertisements. We see it all the time, and it's around us all the time that we ought to be busy and that we should never take time to be still and know that God is God. Do you know why that is? Because the devil knows that if we begin to think about how great God is, how good God is, how big God is, that we're going to find some peace, comfort, and contentment. And the devil does not want people to be contented. He does not want people to have any kind of peace. Therefore, the devil constantly puts on people's minds that they cannot sit still, that they must be busy. I know that children must be moving around. They have a lot more energy than us older folks. But we that are older ought to know that we ought to be still and know that God is God. Notice this. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Oh, what a great verse this is. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching what goes on in church services. God is watching what goes on in the bar rooms and in the brothels. God is watching the things that's going on in the sports stadiums. God is watching the things that's going on in the sales arena. God is watching everything, everywhere, every place. God sees everything that is going on, and we ought to know that it's so. I know there's some folks that don't like to think that God is watching everything they do. Why? Do you suppose it's because they're doing things they know God does not like? I think that is so. God is a very, very great God. And the contemplation of God, if we would just simply be still and contemplate God and His righteousness and His holiness, we would find our lives being filled more and more and more with peace, joy, and contentment. But just who is God? Anyway, this morning, I'd like to give a few things, just a description of who God is. Think with us this morning, that God is an infinite God. That is, God cannot be measured. There is nothing about God that has any limits whatsoever. God is an all-encompassing God. God is an infinite God. Think of this in just simply in the matter of prayer, that if there happened to be at any 1 second 10 million people on the earth praying, that God would hear each of their prayers, answer each of their prayers, and never get any of them mixed up. Now, if we have a computer that'll do 2 or 3 tasks at once, we think that's a grand thing. But God has absolutely no limits whatsoever, because He could hear the prayers of every person on the earth at the same time and answer all those prayers and never get one of them mixed up. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Next, God is omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere at the same time. It means that all of God is in every place all the time. There is not a place where God is not. If you would go into space, you would find God there. If you would go into the far reaches of this earth, you would find that God is there. Here's what David said in Psalms 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You see, God is omnipresent. You cannot go any place and escape God. Jonah thought about that, didn't he? God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach my word to the Ninevites. And of course, the Ninevites were the enemies of the nation of Israel. And Jonah was a patriotic person, and he decided he's not going to do what God said. And so instead of Jonah getting on the boat going to Nineveh, Jonah got on the boat and went, headed for Joppa. Well, what happened? You know the story. He couldn't get away from God. Jonah got down in the heart of the ship, there away from the storm, and was asleep, thinking that God would not know that he was there, perhaps. But God knew he was there, and the soldiers got him out. And Jonah said, just throw me overboard. And God, well, I won't go to Nineveh and preach. But God had prepared a great whale there. And so that whale swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed down under the water, in the belly of that whale. And God heard his prayer. That fish got sick of Jonah and vomited him up on dry land. And Jonah went and preached at the city of Nineveh. Listen, God is everywhere. You'll never go to a bar what God does not see you. Notice what the Bible said in Proverbs 15, verse 3 once again. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You will never go to a church service but what God doesn't see you there. Let me tell you something else. If you're a shut-in this morning and you're not able to go to church services, did you know that as you listen to this radio broadcast and as you read your Bible this morning, God sees and God knows. God knows your inabilities and God knows your abilities. God knows all about those things. Next, look at this. God is an independent God. That is, God needs nobody. God needs nothing. God is complete without anything at all ever being added to him. God is independent. He is self-sufficient. He is self-reliant. Anything that is ever added to God, like we giving glory to God, does not make God more complete than he was before we gave him glory. Because God is absolutely, totally independent. God does not need men. God does not need me. God does not need you. But God has chosen in his eternal decrees to use us, and God loves us, and for this we are very, very thankful, because God does not have to mess with us at all. God created this world in 6 days. God spoke it into existence. And I believe those 6 days that God used back in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, they were literal 24-hour days. The Bible said the evening and the morning were the 6 days. So I believe that was one day. That's just the way that it is. But you see, God created all this world, and God spoke all these things into existence. But God was complete before the world was created, and God will be complete when this world is all finished. God is absolutely, totally independent. Notice another point. That is that God is immutable. Immutable? What does that mean? That means that God never changes. Well, this is a remarkable thing. God never changes because he is perfect. God was perfect, is perfect, and will be perfect in a way that we look at it in the tenses that we use. If God ever changed, that would mean that something about him needed improvement. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's character never changes. God's morality never changes. God is the same. You can count on God. What he says one day will be the same as he says the next day. God is totally immutable. He never changes whatsoever. You and I change a lot, don't we? You see these little kids running around, and then you come back in 10 years, and we wouldn't even know who they are because they change so much. Our houses change. The landscape changes. Our job changes, does it not? Churches change. Everything changes. But listen, God has never changed. He is the same as he's always been. Matter of fact, God never even had a beginning. Just let that grind on you a while. God never had a beginning. He will never have an end. We are certainly not that way, because there was a day when I was conceived in my mother's womb. There is a day when I will come to the place of death if the Lord doesn't come back first and take me out. But you see, I change. But God never changes. He is absolutely, totally, completely perfect. He is independent. He is omnipresent. He is infinite. He is a marvelous and a wonderful God.
I do want to thank you again for listening this morning, and we do want to encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for the continuation of this message about the Almighty God.